Do you believe? Do you believe? You realize how often we hear that question, everyone in life? Here are some examples. Do you believe I can accomplish what I have set out to achieve? Okay. Do you believe the Green Bay Packers will win the Super Bowl this year?
Yes.
Ushers. Out. All right. Do you believe the Vikings will ever win the Super Bowl? Okay. But today, Jesus throws that question out there too. Do you believe? And I want you to remember that, everyone, because we're going to wrap up that those words with our homily today, because it's going to get us ready for the great Easter story. But there's another question I want us today, and it is this. What if life has zero probability? In other words, is impossible. I'll give you some examples today. 1 + 1 = 3. A fish breathing on land for more than a month. A square circle, a four-sided triangle. Okay, but I want you to be able to try one when you leave today. You don't have to do this now. But it's my understanding that you cannot lick your own elbow. Okay, if you want to try it, you can try it later. But as you see, I tried it. But I understand there's zero probability. Now, somebody who's very flexible through yoga, it might be certainly a possibility, but you want to give it a shot, give it a shot. Okay? And finally, how about bringing someone back to life? Not these near-death experiences, people. Someone back from the dead. Now, here we may be getting a little ahead of ourselves, so let's just back up here a little bit. Everyone, there is a question that you have to ask of Jesus today in this. It is this. What took you so long? Okay, Jesus is told that his friend Lazarus is ill. So what do we hear specifically? He remains where he is for 2 more days. Well, when he gets on the scene, everyone, we realize that Lazarus has already been in the tomb for how many days? 4. All right, all you mathematicians, I see we've got a lot of students here today. Here's a mathematical question. How long did it take Jesus to get there? Think about that. Okay, he's told, stays where he is for 2 days. He finally gets there, and Lazarus is already in the tomb for 4 days. Think about that, mathematics. The minimum answer is what? 4. Jesus, here he's ill, and he gets there, and he's already in the tomb for 4 days. You have to assume the minimum answer is this. It took Jesus at least 4 days. But I'm going to let you mathematicians try to figure that one out. Okay? It's amazing sometimes that the gospel does not tell us. This one is not answered in an absolute way. But you know something? Martha and Mary aren't happy. They both say the same words. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You know what that sounds like? These are the questions. Where were you? What took so long? Where have you been? I'll give you an example. First vacation I ever took as a priest, over 22 years ago, everyone, I took a week. I was going to spend time duck hunting. Got home on Friday, duck hunting opening on Saturday. I went home on Friday. My back was bothering me. By the next morning, everyone, I knew I had thrown my back completely out. So my mom said, why don't you go to the chiropractor? I said, Mom, I'm going to be in the duck blind. It starts at noon. I will be there. She said, let me call. He called. The chiropractor said he'd meet me at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. So I talked to my brother, who I'm on a hunt with. And my brother, we devise a plan. He says, I'll meet you at the bow landing at 11 o'clock. Okay, so I go to the chiropractor, and guess what? I wait till finally it's done. Long story short, I don't get to the boat landing until 11:20. So guess what questions I'm bombarded with? Where were you? What took so long? Where have you been? Brother says, you're late. I know where we got to go. So we got to get moving. You know something, everyone? Read the gospel stories and you leave it with a small sense of sorrow. Here's another one that Jesus doesn't answer. Where were you? Where have you been? What took you so long? Jesus gets off pretty easy. But you know something? It leads us to another very important question. If I ask you today, how many times does Jesus bring someone back from the dead in the Gospels? You know what the answer is? Three times. Three times. Okay? I'll share them with you real quick. First one is an official named Jairus who comes to Jesus and says, my daughter is ill. So Jesus sets out for his place, and along the way, some of the servants say, don't bother him anymore. Your daughter has died. Jesus pays no attention to it. He goes into the house, takes the little girl by the hand, and tells her, little girl, I tell you, rise. So what does she do? She stands up, everyone, and she starts to walk around. Second story. Son of a widow in Nain, lost her husband, loses her only son. Jesus is coming into Nain. They're coming into the outskirts of town. They're coming out almost to the outskirts. Jesus comes, stops the coffin, takes his hand, puts it on it, and he tells him, young man, arise. He gets up, everyone, and he walks around. And the third story, everyone, is the story you just heard. It's Lazarus. Here's what's interesting. The first healing, everyone, is in a home. The second one, everyone, is on the outskirts of a town. But what sets Lazarus apart, everyone, is this. He is in a tomb. The stone is rolled across. It is over. It is finished. It is done. And yet on the scene comes this man, Jesus. We can say this. Yes, he was slow in getting there. Yes, he was late. And yet what do we realize, everyone? With Jesus Christ, there's always hope. Take that stone away. Lazarus, come out. Could you imagine what it looked like for somebody like a mummy to come out? That's what it was. Untie him and let him go. Two more points I want to make today. First of all, Lazarus is one of the most fascinating figures we have in all the Gospels. I'll tell you why this is, everyone. Here's a man who deserves to be on the front page of Time or front page story, everyone, in a newspaper. And let's just pretend you have the opportunity to do the one and only primetime interview that's going to be aired on national television, and you're the only one that gets to do the interview. You get to drill Lazarus, so what questions are you going to ask? Here are some I'd throw at him. What is death like? This isn't a near death. He was dead. Where did you go? What was it like where you went? What did you see? What did you hear? It may be fair to ask, who didn't you see? Right? Okay, and yet, I want you to take that gospel. If you read it, you know what you're going to realize. How many words does Lazarus speak today? Zero. Story two. How many words do you think the son of the widow of Nain speaks when Jesus tells him, young man, arise? How about Jairus' little girl? How many words? Three people who died. Three people we could interview. And they don't say a word. Can't answer the questions. Why? The Gospels, everyone, aren't about potential headlines or latest interviews. It's about the story of Jesus Christ. Second thing, let's go back to where we began. Remember the question I asked you to remember? It was what? Do you believe? Jesus asked Martha, Martha, do you believe I am the resurrection and the life? Martha says, yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, everyone, get ready, because that question is going to be very important for us in 2 weeks. On Easter, when we celebrate the resurrection, we are going to be asked these questions. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord? And do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, and life everlasting? The answer we give everyone provides and conveys a belief about our belief, our conviction, and our hope. So I want us to think about those questions, everyone. Do we believe? Do we really, really believe?